You have a lot of experience in comedy and music. Could you talk more about, you know, your other experiences, maybe some other areas that you've worked on or what you're looking at doing for the future?
Yeah, I'm just keeping my options open at this point. I'm playing with the idea of, you know, going back into the studio. I might start writing songs again. And seeing what's next, what's available. I would like to play a real bad guy at some point soon. And it's like this, I want to open up the possibilities of what I can, what I can do. And hope that those things come along.
I know for a fact you used to do some, I don't know if it was a webisode or on TV, you did like a comedy troupe. Is that something that really interests you?
Yeah, I used to do a live. It was live. It was all before YouTube and stuff. I did a YouTube kind of three seasons, three very short of like this, these webisodes with a friend of mine, Sunday News, Rick and Sunday Comedy Channel on YouTube. And we tried that for last year. We kind of experimented with two little characters that we developed. And that was a lot of fun to do. We may go back to doing something else. We may change those characters. You know, we're just kind of exploring all of our options out there. But yeah, I used to do a lot of improv and sketch comedy, I'd be open to doing that again. I'd certainly love to get on a sitcom or get into one of the comedy shows that we shoot that are being shot. Use all my skills.
Could you tell us more about those characters?
The two characters?
Yeah.
Sunday Muse played a girl named Precious Deming, and it was a character she developed over years of kind of a social misfit, 12-year-old, coming of age, having her own opinions and ideas of what life is like due to her upbringing. And my character was more kind of came out of a need for her character to have a friend. I was shooting the show at the time, Lost Girl at the time, so I couldn't get rid of my peers. So I had to come up with a fact that you know, he'd been trying, his family had taken him to try, what's it called? Hormone treatments help him with development, and it just kind of, it caused him to grow a beard at 12. And so, and a lower voice and that kind of thing. So, with that kind of angle on it, he went from there. He kind of got more boyish, and they get more into like what a tween might experience as we went through our seasonal arc. We'd get together and we'd kind of talk about themes and ideas and sort of write them out, and then we improvised the entire thing, basically. I mean, there was very, very little scripting. We, like I said, just kind of a theme or an idea or what we thought, a young person would come up against at school or at home, and we'd just kind of riff on it from there, and whatever we'd get out of it, we'd get out of it and cut together and throw up on YouTube to give it to see what the response would be like.
You've made an album, you're into music, so how long have you been into music, and how did that come about, and you can tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I've been playing guitar since I was about 17 or so, or even a little younger than that. and been writing my own songs since then, and kind of progressed and grew and played them for various people at times, and I've done very the occasional live show, mainly just myself and my guitar, kind of the singer's songwriter romantic kind of version of that, I guess you'd say. And these songs were, when I met my producer that worked on my last album, because like the two previous albums I recorded on a 4-track by myself, and the one was a 4-track and the other one was in a studio, just kind of, I went in, playing with my guitar, played songs, played, and then recorded them, and I got a copy of it, and recreated it and put it up on iTunes. It's more of a, and which is why it's called Live Off the Floor, because it's just, live right there playing in the studio. They're always been, each album has been kind of a learning curve in its own right. With the first one that I did, Space for Rent, I rented a 4-track recorder from Long McQuaid in downtown and set it up in my living room and recorded while I was actually doing a play, for YPT, a children's theater thing. So I was doing the play throughout the day in morning and the evening shows for like Saturday, Sunday. But throughout the week, we were doing matinees. And so in my evenings, I filled my time to, learning about how to bounce tracks and mix and play different instruments on the tracks, because it was all just me. And then experimenting kind of with sound and, one song, Bag Lady, I there's a rattle of a Scotch glass at the beginning, and then I like through that song I kind of sang through an empty glass to kind of give it a tighter, different sound, and I recorded with the windows open, so you at the end of the song a streetcar passed right at the right time. Another song that I recorded on that album has me breathing. It's called Hollywood Star. It's kind of about a guy stalking a Hollywood star in a way, it's got like, I was scraping broken pieces of pottery and breathing as rhythm for the song, just to kind of give it that sense of like, I don't know, scary, dirty, atmospheric, darkness element to it, and then another one of them I recorded, I sang through distortion through my amp and pedal, just again to give it a different feel, and I was really playing with atmosphere at that point. I had recorded by myself during the Live Off the Floor session a song called Persephone and G, which became She the Goddess, I offered it up to Lost Girl, and they liked it, but it wasn't produced enough. It didn't have enough elements to it, and so I serendipitously met a producer, we got together and we created that song, and he brought in other elements, other musicians, and filled it out, and then we did another one because we enjoyed working together, and then the next year on break, I recorded from the show, I did three more with him, and that became Hold My Hands, the EP, and so then I actually investigated and learned about how to, I'd already learned how to put it up for iTunes through a site called TuneCore, and then I learned about how to get hard copies made, and I pressed a bunch of them, and I made the artwork, and had an artist do the front cover stuff, and so it's been it was a collaborative effort with a bunch of friends to kind of pull it all together, and then I went to a place in Toronto and had it all printed up, and I've been trying to kind of sell them and give them away and just, you know, give them away to interested parties within the industry. And, you know, just it's something that's always been a hobby of mine that I having a good run on the show, and it afforded me to be able to kind of to make this EP, and I wanted to try that and have that out there, you know, and see what it was like to go through that process. So it's been it was a collaborative effort with a bunch of friends to kind of pull it all together, and then I went to a place in Toronto and had it all printed up, and yeah, I've been trying to kind of sell them and give them away and just, you know, give them away to interested parties within the industry. And, you know, just it's something that's always been a hobby of mine that I having a good run on the show, and it afforded me to be able to kind of to make this EP, and I wanted to try that and have that out there, you know, and see what it was like to go through that process. And so we'll see if I do it again, or if I go on to a larger scale of it, or what. I'm just I guess as an artist, I've been trying to do all the things that I possibly can, and it seems like there's kind of chapters, you know, where there's periods where you do comedy, and then there's periods where I've been focused more on my film and television career, and then, you know, had a chance to kind of focus on the music again for a little while, and things like that.
Have you thought of combining the two and doing, getting a song into TV shows or film?
I did with the one with Lost Girl, like I mentioned. She's a Goddess. It's in episode 402, season 4, episode 2. It's like all of the elements of music and the entertainment industry as a whole. It's quite a each individual aspect of it is a whole other kind of mountain to climb for an artist. And, you know, I think one of the things that I've learned is, like, you know, if you choose to be a musician, like, that's, you've really got to put 100% into it and focus into it and make that your drive. You know, and then, or like as an actor, it's like you put that focus into it, and it requires your 100% attention and focus into it to get somewhere, to get places. And there's various parts of the entertainment industry that are kind of harder nuts to crack than others. And so, you know, but you plug away and you try to. I mean, I would love to have all of my songs placed in various films and televisions and things like that. But it's an interesting element of a part of the industry that you really need to put a lot of effort and work into to make the right connections and to get to the right people who actually do that placement. You know, it's not just an easy sign up and off you go. It's building of relationships and finding those people to build those relationships with and connecting to them. So it seems that my avenue at this point is, you know, if I'm doing a project and they like one of my songs, you know, it's kind of a cool tie-in to use that. And I mean, I think they do that more and more with big music stars who are transitioning or trying to transition into acting, and they their albums or their songs also go on to be onto the soundtrack.
Well, I guess it's taking advantage of an offer from one to the other.
Yeah, it's building on their own following that they have of people who like their music that will, you know, they'll take a look at what they're doing otherwise and watch them branch out and grow as artists.